ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Kingdom of God, text 24. Ye dhajitam apichana nidatim prapanna
Ye
dhajitam apichana nidatim prapanna Narādhanam bhagavatau vijanam ca muṣya Sambhohitādhita-taya vatamāyayāte Ye gyārthitāṁ apichanau nigatim prapanna Jnanam ca tattva viṣayaṁ saha dhārmaṁ yatra Narādhanam bhagavato vitaraṁ ca muṣya Sammohitā vitataya bhata māyaya te Lord Brahma said, My dear demigods, the human form of life is of such importance that we also desire to have such life. For in the human form, one can attain perfect religious truth and knowledge. If one in this human form of life does not understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his abode, it is to be understood that he is very much affected by the influence of external nature. Ramaji condemns very vehemently the condition of a human being who does not take interest in the personality of Godhead and his transcendental abode by Vaikuntha. The human form of life is desired even by Ramaji. Brahma and other demigods have much better material bodies than human beings, yet the demigods, including Brahma, nevertheless desire to attain the human form of life because it is specifically meant for the living entity who can attain transcendental knowledge and religious perfection. It is not possible to go back to God in human life, but in the human form, one should at least understand the goal of life and begin Krishna consciousness. It is said that the human form is a great boon because it is the most suitable boat for crossing over the nescience ocean. The spiritual master is considered to be the most able captain in that boat, and the information from the scriptures is the favorable wind for floating over the ocean of nescience. The human being who does not take advantage of all these facilities in this life is committing suicide. Therefore, one who does not begin Krishna consciousness in the human form of life loses his life to the influence of the illusory energy. Brahma regrets the situation of such a human being. Om Gyan Chivanandasya Gyananjana Shlaka Chakshun Militanina Dasmashi Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhunitananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We are continuing here with Brahma's revelation of his feelings about what's going on in the cosmos. You remember how this chapter began, with the demigods alarmed by the darkness caused by Diti's pregnancy. So they approach Brahma to ask what's going on. And as we discussed yesterday, when you approach a saintly person, you always get more than what you thought you would come away with. So, in the process of explaining the darkness in the universe, Brahma is giving information about Vaikuntha. And he's expressing his personal regrets for living entities in his universe who misuse the human form of life. In order for us to devise our lifestyle, and in order for us to shape a proper mission for ourselves, we must rest solidly on the foundation of understanding the human form. And Brahma is giving you the overview as seen from Satchaloka. He's saying that the human form of life is of such importance that even demigods like Brahma, desire to have a human form. And if you waste the human form of life, then this is a very tragic situation. Everyone knows the exhortation by Prahlad Maharaj in the 7th canto, Komada Acharat Pragya Dharma Bhagavatana Durava Manasam Janma Tarapya Dhruva Martita. Prahlad is 5 years old. He's been enlightened from within the womb by listening to Narada Muni. Now he's outside of the womb, and at the age of approximately 5, he's urging his schoolmates, understand the value of the human body. Generally, things that are temporary, when seen from the spiritual point of view, can appear to have no value. But Prahlad Maharaj points out a very striking thing. Even though the human body is adhruva, it's temporary, still it has artha, value. Why is that? Because with the human body, you can obtain eternal benefit. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj pronounces the human body as full of value, full of meaning. In this way, we can understand Brahma's lamentation. Why do people live in my cosmos who do not develop an attraction for understanding the personality of Godhead and his abode? This is especially tragic when we can understand that Krishna is always coming to display his pastimes. He's not leaving us to rot in this material world. He's coming and showing us what the superior life is. But still, we remain trapped in our ignorance. This is the disaster. Queen Kunti prays, Janma Karma Chavishvabhu. Krishna, your activities can appear very bewildering. Now, she's cognizant of the Lord's mission in this world. She's cognizant of the Lord's activities in this world. And she's saying, yes, it can be confusing looking at your pastimes. But most people today have no knowledge whatsoever of Krishna's activities. Whether they're confused about it or not, they are totally ignorant of the activities of the personality of Godhead in this world. They can't even pass a negative judgment on them. They don't know. For those who do know, Kunti is pointing out, my Lord, Janma Karma Javishvatma, your activities can be a bit bewildering. Let's look at the facts. First of all, you are unborn, yet apparently you take birth. How can that be? You are the vital force of everyone, yet you take birth, you appear in this world, almost looking like the appearance, the birth process of an ordinary human being. It can look that way from the ignorant point of view. What's more, you're inactive, yet you do things. And you do things by appearing in all species of life. Animals. What to speak of human being? So Kunti is expressing her understanding that, yes, if people aren't properly trained in how they perceive the Lord's pastimes, they'll be confused. In Nectar Devotion, Prabhupada writes that Krishna's pastimes are very attractive because they resemble human affairs, and that gives us some access. But on the other hand, the very fact that his pastimes resemble human affairs has a downside, that we can think, oh, yes, I know all about those activities of romance, of friendship, of parental love. Yes, it's just like what we have in this world, so there's no big deal about Krishna. That is the problem. Now, even when Prichit Maharaj is explaining the highest subject matter, Rasa Leela, to Shukadeva, when he's hearing from Shukadeva Goswami, Shukadeva Goswami is explaining this highest subject matter to Prichit Maharaj. Prichit Maharaj is conscious that while I'm listening to this, I need to take into account that there are people in the audience while Shukadeva is speaking who do not understand the Lord's transcendental activities. Even in that great interplanetary gathering in which Shukadeva Goswami is speaking Bhagavatam to Prichit Maharaj, there were persons there who could not understand Krishna. So, try to understand the scene. Shukadeva Goswami has begun to explain the highest part of the tenth canto, the pinnacle, the Lord's Rasa Leela. And he explains that the Lord is perfect and complete, Bhagavan Apita Ratri. He's self-sufficient. He has no need to rely on others for his fulfillment. You see, material desires are based on an incomplete feeling. We can catch ourselves doing this. When material desires rise up in us, that's because we feel an emptiness that has to be filled by sense gratification. So, pressed by these material desires, we are impelled to rely on things outside of ourselves. I will have this, I will enjoy that, I will get this, and in such a way that some gap in me is plugged, something missing will be added to my life. This is why we have material desires. It's based on an incompleteness. And that incompleteness, of course, originates because of our separation from the Supreme Complete, Om Purnam Adapurnam Idam. Now, what about Krishna? There's no question of Krishna feeling incomplete. He is sufficient. So that is the miracle of the Lord's Rasa Leela. Even though he's self-sufficient, still he's enjoying the loving exchanges with his devotees. And Krishna is the most expert enjoyer. He knows how to judge time, place, and circumstance for pleasure. Yesterday we heard in the purport about how the impersonalists deny spiritual variegatedness. When Krishna enacts his pastimes, he displays that he is the master of variety. He knows how to take note of all the varieties and what they indicate for pleasure. So, what did Krishna do? Shadadotpula Mallika. He noticed this is an autumn night. Just look at the Mallika, the jasmine flowers blooming. All this indicates that even though I'm just 8 years old, this is the time for Rasa Leela. Now, how can you think that Krishna's Rasa Leela is something ordinary when, if you want to treat Krishna like an ordinary person, he's only 8 years old? Just that alone lets you know that you're dealing with something completely beyond ordinary understanding. So Krishna takes note of the situation. You remember from Nectar Devotion, which describes how Krishna's analysis of the situation reveals that he's an expert judge of circumstances. He knows how to enjoy. He surveys nature. He surveys his surroundings, and he understands exactly what to do. He sees the autumn night. He sees the jasmine flowers. So what's next? Vikshavantu manaschakre yoga maya upashvatam. He thinks within himself, yes, This is the time for love. We're so foolish, we think that these kind of activities are our realm. This is our business. Romance, loving affairs. And we become so foolish about our selfish desires that we think the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no loving affairs. We'll deny Krishna his loving affairs, but we won't deny ourselves. No, we've got that part down. I don't know about Vaikuntha. I don't know about Goloka Vrindavan. I don't know about Krishna's pastimes, but I do know what I need. And I'm going to have my loving affairs. I'm going to have my romance. The envy goes so deep that even when some people hear about Krishna's pastimes, they cannot tolerate it. They cannot accept the fact that the Lord has the pinnacle of loving affairs without one touch of problem, without one touch of contamination. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are two examples that stick out about how impersonalists cannot appreciate the Lord's variegatedness. They cannot appreciate the varieties of the spiritual world and the loving taste. When Madhavendra Puri was about to leave this world, he had an unfortunate disciple named Ramachandra Puri. You all know Ramachandra Puri's his hobby. Ramachandra Puri's hobby was to go to a Vaishnava and induce the Vaishnava to eat a lot of prasad, to honor a lot of the Lord's prasad. Come on, take more. Take more. Bhagavad prasad. And then when the Vaishnava would indeed, in reciprocating with Ramachandra Puri, take more prasad, then when he finished, Ramachandra Puri would say, "Just see the associates of Mahaprabhu picking out. Just see, what kind of sannyasi are you?" In this way, he's causing quite a bit of havoc. Now, his problems and the nonsense he was doing didn't end there. He even misbehaved with his own guru, Madhavendra Puri. In Madhavendra Puri's last moments in this world, he was crying out in separation from Krishna. "Oh, I could not attain Mathura." Feeling the transcendental absence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Madhavendra Puri was crying out like that. And he uttered his famous verse, "I Dina Dayadra Natha, Mathura Natha, Kadavalokshe." "Oh, my Lord, oh, most merciful one, oh, master of Mathura, when shall I see you again?" He's crying out in feeling love of Krishna in separation. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes that Madhavendra Puri planted the seed of ecstatic love of Krishna, which later grew into the tree of Lord Chaitanya. So that is how important Madhavendra Puri is. So much so that when Mahaprabhu would see a devotee overwhelmed with ecstatic love, Mahaprabhu would comment, "Oh, you must have some relation with Madhavendra Puri, because it's impossible to have such ecstatic love of Krishna without connection to Madhavendra Puri." So this is Madhavendra Puri's most exalted status. Yet Ramachandra Puri, hearing his guru cry out, "Oh, I could not attain Mathura, oh, what is the use of me?" Ramachandra Puri began to criticize him. "What kind of guru are you?" Experiencing lamentation, crying out. Think of the Brahma-Bhuta platform. Think of becoming beyond all hankering and all lamentation. What is this? How can you be crying out like this? How can you be evidencing hankering and lamentation? In other words, Ramachandra Puri had no understanding of spiritual life. He had no understanding of the varieties of the spiritual world and how Madhavendra Puri was absorbed in the topmost level of the spiritual world. So Ramachandra Puri mistook his guru's crying out in the pain of separation. He mistook that as material. So therefore, Madhavendra Puri became most disappointed. just look at my condition. I could not attain the Torah. I'm about to leave this world. And who's in my association as I'm departing this world? This foolish rascal who's asking me to think of Brahman. Oh, what could be worse? So, Madhavendra Puri said, get out of here. I don't want to see your face. In this way, Ramachandra Puri's condition worsened because of displeasing his spiritual master. Now, on the other hand, Madhavendra Puri gave an example of the opposite. On the one side, you have Ramachandra Puri. On the other side, you have Ishwar Puri, who was the model of a disciple. He rendered menial service to his spiritual master, even cleaning up his stool and urine with his own hands. And Ishwar Puri received the full blessings of Madhavendra Puri. So we can see that not everyone can appreciate the Lord's pastimes and relationships with the Supreme Lord. Even those who consider themselves to be elevated in austerity and metaphysical knowledge, they become bewildered by Krishna's activities to the extent that they'll even deny them. Another example is Prakashananda Saraswati. He was in Varanasi, and one Brahmana, who was a devotee of Mahaprabhu, came to him to tell him the glories of Mahaprabhu. You see, Mahaprabhu would always refuse the invitations of the Mayavadis. He would make up an excuse that, I cannot accept your lunch invitation because I already have another invitation. In this way, Mahaprabhu is showing that diplomacy has its use in Krishna consciousness. He wouldn't tell them straight out, forget it, you know, I'm not associating with you. He would be polite in Varanasi. I'm sorry, I have other invitations. I can't come and lunch with you. So in this way, Mahaprabhu demonstrated that Krishna bhaktas do not intimately associate with Mayavadis. When you sit and eat with someone, that's considered to be an intimate activity. So the Brahmana went to talk with Prakashananda Saraswati. Have you seen Mahaprabhu's beautiful features? Just looking at his body, you can understand he has all the symptoms of being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Have you seen his associates? How they're always floating and diving in the ocean of pure love of God. Obviously, this Mahaprabhu is someone very, very special. What did Prakashananda Saraswati say? Yes, I know about that fanatic from Bengal. He's a sentimentalist. He's surrounded by other sentimentalists. In this way, the heart of the Brahmana devotee of Mahaprabhu was very saddened to hear this. So, Prakashananda Saraswati was so austere. He was so learned in Vedanta. Yet, he could not appreciate the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, before he got Mahaprabhu's mercy, he could not understand what was right before his eyes. He had taken Mahaprabhu from the Jagannath Mandir to his home because Mahaprabhu had fainted in ecstasy. And Gopinath Acharya explained to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, don't you understand what's right before your eyes? You have here the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Don't you understand what's right here? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya didn't. So Gopinath Acharya said, you are Bahirmukha Jana. You are one of those people who have eyes but they don't see. You're one of those persons who cannot understand what's right in front of your eyes. So this is how bewildering Krishna's pastimes can be. Either people are ignorant of them completely and they think their own loving affairs are supreme, or else when they hear about Krishna they say, impossible for that to be transcendental because there's individuality, there's relationships, there's form, there's quality, there's activities. No, can't be. That's not Brahman. So in this way, a devotee has a lot of work to do for establishing Krishna's glories. Prabhupada commented that this Krishna consciousness movement has two purposes. To establish the truth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and to annihilate misconceptions about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, even when Shukadeva Goswami was explaining to Prichit Maharaj Ratha Leela, still there were doubters in the audience of such a great interplanetary assembly of sages and rishis from all over the universe. Prichit Maharaj noticed that. Shukadeva Goswami was so eloquently describing the scene, how the Lord, noting the symptoms of the autumn night, took shelter of his Yogamaya potency to create the maximum atmosphere for transcendental love. Once the Lord took shelter of his Yogamaya potency for arranging everything, Yogamaya Mahasrita, what happened? The full moon rose, making the whole horizon of the night sky red. And because the full moon rose, then the Kamuda lotus flowers in the forest began to open. And there was a very cool and pleasant atmosphere in the Vrindavan forest. Once that was established, Krishna began to play his flute, attracting the cowherd damsels of Vrindavan. And the atmosphere of the forest, the moonlight, the flowers, the cool, calm atmosphere, all worked to increase the attractiveness of Krishna's flute playing. So then, before Shukadeva Goswami began to describe the gopis meeting the Lord at Vamshiva, Prichit Maharaj said, wait, I have a question. Very important question, because Prichit Maharaj was noticing the faces of those in the audience, and he was protecting Krishna's interests. He said, Krishnam vidu param tantam name brahmataya mune. These gopis, they only knew Krishna as their lover. They did not know him as the Supreme Absolute Truth. So, obviously, wouldn't that mean that their minds are just caught in the modes of material nature? Guna pravaha parama. Wouldn't that be the indication? They're just caught up in loving a boy. They don't know Krishna is the Supreme Absolute Truth. I mean, there's so many boys and girls caught up in their affairs. What's special about this one, in other words? So, the acharyas point out that Prichit Maharaj knew the truth, but he's being merciful. He wants to first establish the spiritual basis of Rasa Leela before Shukadeva Goswami will go on. And Shukadeva Goswami rises to the occasion. He chastises Prichit Maharaj. Haven't I already told you about Shishupal? Shishupal was so envious, yet because of that absorption he had in Krishna, he received benefit when the Lord killed him. So, if that happened to Shishupal, in other words, that's what Shukadeva Goswami is explaining, if Shishupal is envious, yet he got benefit from the Lord, he was liberated, how can you doubt what the gopis would get being absorbed in Krishna's, in affection for Krishna? Obviously, they have to get even better. So then Shukadeva Goswami establishes the point. Kamam, krodam, payam, sneham, aityam, sohadam, evacha. Whether you're having lust, anger, fear, or affection, or even impersonal oneness desires, or friendship, if you somehow or other become absorbed in Krishna, Krishna thought, that is your perfection. So, he then told Prichit Maharaj, how can you be astonished by what Krishna does? First of all, he's unborn, and he's inconceivable. Therefore, why should you doubt that his pastimes are able to liberate everyone? Any way that the people are attracted to him, they'll benefit just by becoming absorbed in Krishna thought. Because the Lord is so merciful that he acts in such a way to attract everyone. He's avyayasya, prameyasya, nirunasya, gunahmana. He's inexhaustible. It's not that because his devotees are loving him that he becomes depleted. No, he's avyaya. He's inexhaustible and aprameya, immeasurable. And then nirguna, he's free from all material qualities. Gunatma, he's the controller of the modes of material nature. So what is the question of him being contaminated by material nature when he's the controller? In this way, Prichit Maharaj induced Shukadeva Goswami to establish firmly the spiritual basis of the Lord's most intimate pastimes so that Shukadeva Goswami could proceed in a clear atmosphere. And that is the duty of a devotee, to firmly establish the glories of the Lord, without which there is no hope of anyone reviving their original constitutional position. And Lord Brahma here, he's lamenting. What about these people who get the human body, but they know nothing about the Supreme Lord? They know nothing about his abode. This, as Prabhupada writes, Brahma condemns very vehemently the condition of a human being who does not take interest in the personality of Godhead and his transcendental abode, Vaikuntha. As devotees, we are taking the interest of the Supreme Lord in establishing his glories. We want to be the assistants of the Lord, specifically the assistant of his assistant for getting people to turn their attention from their horrible material varieties of passion and ignorance. We want them to turn their attention to Krishna's perfect activities of transcendental love and friendship and parental affection. In this way, once people actually understand what is heaven, what is the spiritual world, then they'll lose their attraction for their material affairs. Any questions or comments? All glories to the Father.